to the Cake and Eat It podcast. My name is Jody Seeley. Of course, with me again is Fauna Views. Hi, friend.
Hi.
We have friends with us this week. I'm so excited. Tell me who did you bring for our friends?
When you and I got brainstorming about community, a couple people came to my mind because, so Janet, who I knew originally as Hughes, but Janet Plishka, was the first person at Longview School to come up to me on the playground and say, nobody ever moves to Longview, so we don't know how to do this, but maybe you'd like to come on the monkey bars with us. And I made a bit of a Longview faux pas and wore a dress to school.
She did.
But they showed me the way. And her neighbor, Sherry Boberry, Sherry here, I met Sherry before, but the story I'm going to tell about Sherry is Sherry and I met at this community forum. And Jody knows this about me. I have a bit of an affinity for hot tubs. A little bit. So got to Victoria for this community, livable communities forum. And of course, straight beeline for the hot tub. And there's this amazing woman holding court in the hot tub. And I was like, wow, she is fantastic. And then I recognized, oh, it's Sherry, Janet's neighbor, Sherry. And so I just love these two women. And I love the stories that come out of their community and how they support each other on their street. So that's as much as I'm going to say. And I was hoping they could tell us a little bit today about how they built community on their street and how that has helped them through these hard times, maybe not just even COVID, but even, you know, just regular life and what it's meant to have this community that they have in Calgary that, I don't know, I'm going to let them talk about it.
Yeah, so no pressure, ladies. Yeah. Tell us about your community because, you know, Fauna and I, we dig community. So what do you guys do that's made it so unique that you've caught Fauna's eye?
Well, I would say that Fauna, similar to you, Janet is just one of those people that reaches out to people, right? And I remember her showing up at my door. I just had a new baby and she's like, can I take pictures of your baby just for my portfolio? And the rest of it was kind of history, right? Like that was it. That's just who she is. And I don't know how we got to like going on, you know, neighbor vacations together, but I guess that's right. Like somewhere along the line, we went from, can I take pictures of your kid to planning cooperative living in a castle in France, you know, for older years. And and we'll have to figure out how we did that.
One day we will be in France.
Yes.
Yeah, community is a lot about, yeah, reaching out like that, right? It's like a simple smile on the sidewalk. It's a hello. It's a how are you? And then getting further than how are you? Because sometimes how are yous aren't enough, right? We need to like get into further conversation. So I think it's, you know, we all live very, very close to each other. So, of course, that is a help with it all. Our kids are the same age. So we're going through a lot of the same stuff together. There's lots of, you know, there's just so many conversation starters there right from the very beginning. And I think at the beginning, it's those little, you know, hellos and how are yous. But our conversations, they got more and more and they got deeper and deeper. And just through that, that's where, you know, such a close community between, you know what, I love so much about this community, Sherry, is that it's like, it's parents and parents and moms and dads, but it's also, and kids and kids, but it's moms with kids and dads with the other kids. And it's just everyone mixes in. Like the other day, it was my husband's 50th birthday party, or not party, but 50th birthday. And we did some videos to send to him to have well wishes. And one of the boys in kind of this community of ours said, I see Harold as a second dad. And right there is what I see as like, oh my gosh, that's the community I want to be part of. And I'm so thankful to be part of that community.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I know it weaves in and it fluctuates over time as the kids, sometimes they're closer and sometimes they find different interests. But we were talking about what we're going to talk about today. A similar thing is that when I went away for 3 months to do my master's and left my husband and the kids, I abandoned them on our street so I could go off and gallivant across Europe. But what my kid said was that every day on her way to school, my kid got a mom hug from Janet and a dad joke from Harold. Right? So even if Doug was stressed, that's my husband looking after the kids, even if I was, you know, on the other side of the ocean, they still got that trusted adult, that parenting perspective. And that's exactly it, right? Our kids trust the other parents.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yep, and yeah, that's huge.
What does Jackie say? The number, not now during COVID, obviously, but the measure of how close your friends are is how many fridges you go into without asking.
That's right. Yeah. Right? Yeah, and we know they can all go into each other's fridge, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what I think really helps is that we live in a community that doesn't have garages in the front. We're a very front yard community. And, you know, this summer over COVID, you know, we were kind of all, you know, stuck at home. And so we decided to build a deck. And, you know, typically your deck goes in your backyard. And Harold and I really, in the end, it was a pretty quick conversation about, do we want it in the backyard or no, we don't want it in the backyard. We need it in our front yard where we have people, you know, passing by and, you know, saying hellos, and we're just engaging in those, you know, in those conversations with, you know, our core group of friends, but also with, you know, just people that are passing by. So I love that our, like that we're that front yard community. Hey, Sherry?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I, it, despite the fact that my front porch was really dangerous to me this year.
Sherry had a big toe incident.
I had a gratuitous toe incident. But, you know, saying that, I spend my favorite place in the world is my front porch. And that's because if I'm on the front porch, even if I don't have the energy that day to walk the 5 steps over to your front porch, there will be, which sometimes that happens and sometimes it's too many days, but most of the time it's, you know, people will walk by and it's Janet and her dog, or it's a couple of the kids that go by, you know, it's Haley and Kate who will walk by and stop for a chat, or it'll be Amanda taking Kiwi out for a walk, or Jackie just saying, anybody need a gin? And come over.
Well, I like the sound of Jackie. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Oh, this is not a gin podcast, but that's a different podcast. That's my podcast. I'll interview about you about that. But, a lot of different. But I think, yeah, our front porches, our front get-togethers, even if it's just our core group, as Jenna was just saying, everybody walks by. So people walk by with their dogs and their kids and they go running through, and, you know, everybody pops in for a beer or for a chat or whatever when we're out on the front lawn.
Yeah.
Now I want to point out for a quick second for anybody who's tuning in to hearing this right now in this moment, is that you sound like you're describing a small town street, but in mm-hmm. fact, you ladies live in the city of Calgary. So this kind of neighborhood, small town, front porch ginning happens in a city of over 1 million people.
Absolutely.
Do you think that's rare? Do you think you guys are super rare? Or do you think more of this is happening than we're aware of?
That's it.
Yeah, go ahead. I've been told lots that it doesn't happen very often. And I don't know what it is about the magic about our neighborhood. So if you want to know how we build community, I can't actually tell you that because I don't really know. It feels like it feels a little bit like magic, but I think it is that front porch thing. Because a lot of people, Jenna was pointing out, a lot of people have driveways, but I also think it's more side by side. It's like there are houses, single family houses, but also like we're just closer in proximity because of the side by, like the attached housing. So that helps a lot. And we're not just in Calgary, we're close to downtown. Like we're urban.
Yeah, interesting question, Jody. Yeah, I definitely, you know, have some other friends in Calgary who do have close communities, but I do, yeah, I definitely recognize that, you know, ours is one of those special ones.
And do you think this skill set comes from that? I think of little Janet asking the awkward girl in the dress at school to go play on the monkey bars, like starting out that skill set as a young girl turned you into the Janet who is going to go over and ask a complete stranger to take pictures of their baby. Like that's an interesting, beautiful skill set that if we instilled that in our children, do we have future neighborhoods like your beautiful Garrison neighborhood, do you think?
I think it takes a champion.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it just takes that one person to, you know, to make a step forward, for sure. I think our community does a great job of bringing opportunities for the kids to interact too. Like, you know, one thing I'm thinking, Sherry, is like in the summertime, you know, a couple of moms organized a children's market. So in the, you know, it was once a month, the kids could come and bring things that they made or baked or just want to like kind of, you know, move on from their own toy box, and they would sell to other kids who would come to the market. And this was, I mean, remember, Sherry, they would think for, you know, weeks in advance of what they were going to do for this children's market. You know, what kind of cupcake was Haley going to make, and what Lego was Ruben going to sell? And it was really, you know, it was really, really fun. And so here's opportunities for the kids to be part of those kind of cool conversations between each other. And we have, you know, there's Easter egg hunts that we live really close to a small park as well, which has, you know, when the kids were little, this was a place where they really congregated. So we would have Easter egg hunts there. We have stampede breakfasts on our street. We close down the street for Canada Day, and all the different houses have their own little, you know, game or activity area. What else is there, Sherry? There's so much that goes on, like here.
And Halloween on our street is unrivaled.
Halloween on our street is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
You so have I to think, ride 300, 400 kids.
Yeah. Even this year, I had like 200 kids. So, like, you know, we set
I'm just going to pipe in here for a second. So much of what Jody and I are passionate about is, And it really started out of some of the stuff that we observed in High River, is sometimes you don't need to wait for the government or the city or somebody else to make things happen for you. Were these initiatives, like some of these things, are those things that just, you know, that you guys thought of and supported? I know there was also like some Sunday potlucks.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's one thing that we really, really have missed over COVID. It was probably over 2 years ago, maybe.
It was exactly when I started commuting to Edmonton.
Oh, right.
The first one. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah. So that's
because I was so honored that they did this. I was like, I'm the only one not here. And now, but the kids were getting older.
That's
and
right.
We were finding fewer reasons, and they were kind of drifting. Like they had their own groups. They weren't always together, all of them, because Zoe was starting high school, and like some of the older ones were starting high school, and they were drifting apart a little bit. And so we didn't have as many reasons to meet, like organically. And then I got a job in Edmonton. So like that was just kind of the straw that was like, okay, we need to be, we need to make this a priority.
Yeah. So every Sunday night, our four families would get together, and we'd have, like, the kids loved like thinking of a theme, right? Like, so today was Mexico Day, or today was Pride Day, or today was, you know, they had all these like different
breakfast for supper,
breakfast for dinner. That's right. Yeah. Oh God, I loved those. I really miss them.
So great. I miss them too.
Yeah.
A lot.
They'll be back.
Yeah. And our kids, like, they definitely make mention of them too, right? Like they miss them as well.
I can see it in my kids. You know, my kids are going through a bit of a rough go right now, and it's hard for them to reach out. And I think the lack of that structure is really impacting the way they feel generally, and that sense of community that I didn't realize was so embedded in them until we we didn't lose it, but it got a little bit harder to do.
Well, it sounds a lot like there's like a sort of a smaller group of community, but also branches out into the bigger piece of the neighborhood. So you have kind of this like smaller circle, but it ripples into a bigger circle and just creates this really cool giant neighborhood of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, for sure. And I would say that, Janet, the nature that you have to reach out, which also makes you good at your business as well, right? Because you're always forming those connections. Mm-hmm. But when you and Neil did your portraits thing during COVID to connect people, so people, you know, we were all trapped to our porches. Neil and you did this great partnership where they went around to the neighborhood and then expanded to other neighborhoods and took pictures of us going through this thing, this weird place in our lives, right?
Yeah. You know, that was so... That was such an interesting time, right? Because COVID hit and then, you know, everyone had they had to deal with it in their own way. And personally for me, it was like, okay, photo shoots got canceled. And so it was, you know, very, very quiet. And what do you do? And it was probably about maybe 3 or 4 weeks into it where another photographer in the neighborhood, Neil Zeller, he said, hey, Janet, do you want to do this, this portrait thing and go and take pictures of people on their portraits and document this time. And I did not realize how much I missed connection until I went and did those portraits and, like, you know, met 20 families in a day, just spending 5 minutes with them and just realizing, oh my goodness, I miss this so much. So yeah, that was thanks for bringing that up, Sherry. That was
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that was one of the positives about COVID.
One, I think you could probably name off 1,001 examples. We'll have to have you back on the show again, giving us great examples of how community can connect. During this time going into, I don't know if we're calling it phase 2 or what our wording is right now in the second level of the great pause, as I like to say, how do you plan on keeping that connection in your community and maybe that's something that can help other communities who are struggling, or maybe they haven't started and this is their opportunity to do something, to reach out to each other.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I am going to say, like I've touched on a couple times, that we've kind of been going through a rough thing. And I mentioned to somebody the other day that I wasn't feeling well and I had a little bit of I had to get out of the house and I ran to the park and I had a little cry in the park and two neighbors popped by to see how I was doing. Mm-hmm. And they asked what they could do for me. That's how it goes. Like, that's what our neighborhood is. They sit there. They're like, what could I do? And they actively, like, did it. I had a child over with a dog, taking my child out with the dog. And I found this in my mailbox today. It is a card, anonymous card, with all the things that Sherry, like, what the rhymes on them, Sherry. So it's just lovely things to make me feel better.
Aww. I want to live in your neighborhood.
Right?
Yeah. Fauna, we're moving.
Yeah. And I was like, I need to get that because I'm having this conversation tonight. And yeah, it's a fantastic example of what happens in a neighborhood that is just connected the way we are.
I hope I won't freeze here, but that totally segues into what I wanted to ask was, what Jody and I know is all of the research shows that community really is one of the key points of resilience. And after the flood, one of the things that one of the leaders of the Philippines said to me is, I said to him, okay, tell me what we can do that will make a difference. And he said, the places where people know their neighbors are the places that do the best. So from your guys' point of view, how has having this connection in your neighborhood helped you in hard times?
Well, yeah, like I just said. Yeah, I'm going to give an example that's not about me because I could talk about me forever and because I'm amazing and a great contributor to this neighborhood as well. It's not all Janet. I'm just going to tell you. It's mostly Janet, but sometimes
it's not.
But we have a neighbor who a number of years ago lost her husband in a plane crash. It was traumatic and horrible, and she had 3 little boys. When that happened, we had actually, ironically, We had actually just come back from a 32 mom trip to Vegas. 32 of the moms in the neighborhood went to Vegas together.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole other podcast we'll do also.
That's a whole other, but that's the kind of neighborhood we're in.
That trip. Yeah.
Janet was 5 seconds pregnant, so it was a little less fun, I think, for her. But that's the neighborhood we live in. We like 32 moms went to Vegas together. Anyway, we were afraid it would be burned down before we got back. But then when we came back, something horrible happened. And I knew we had a great neighborhood. I saw the neighborhood pour out for these friends of ours. They were going through a rough time. People took the boys out swimming. People took, made sure that there was food out they had food for years for that family. And I think people don't know what to do in times like that. So they cook and they knock on the door. And there is so many cards that just said, gave her special memories they had with her partner or her husband that had died. You know, it was really, we have had some of those hard things happen to our neighborhood. Mm. I think, I kind of think that, well, we have the connectors in the neighborhood. We have enough connectors to run Stampede breakfasts and Easter hunts and those kind of things. And those connections are solidified when bad things happen. They're really, I think that it can go two ways. Bad things bring out the worst in people and bad things bring out the best in people. But I think if you have the connections to your neighborhood and you've got enough people who knock on doors and say hello or drop off food or get people to drop off food, I think that just makes making sure that they're kind of champions or stewards of those connections is a really imperative part of maintaining your community through resilience. So you need those connectors.
I think I really love how it's this beautiful balance of giving and receiving. You know, we all need to feel like we're contributing and we all need to feel taken care of sometimes too. And I find that that's one of, you know, the biggest, you know, impacts that this community has had on me is that balance in the well-being. I know that when I'm having a crappy day, someone can be there for me, no questions asked. And I know that I will stop what I'm doing for someone else if they need something that day too. So to have that balance. And I think this is a community where we feel very comfortable being on both sides of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that's really a good point.
When was the last time somebody new moved into the neighborhood?
Oh, who new moved into the neighborhood? Well, okay, so
not long ago.
What's
that?
What is the welcoming like for the brand new person into this neighborhood? Like, I just would like to see—is there a ceremony? Do you parade with them? I think it would be fascinating.
Houses don't go up for sale very often.
They don't. That's very true. That's very true.
No. Yeah. No, I think we just reach out. Like, I think who is the? I haven't met them yet. But the new house beside Kathy. Great. There's some neighbors in there, but I know. Like I didn't have to reach out because I knew a bunch of other people reached out. When Barb next door moved in, I reached out and I brought them in. So everybody takes a turn, yeah. Right? Yeah. At reaching out. When Amanda went away to New Zealand, we reach out. Not everybody responds. Not everybody is as community minded. It's taken a long time to meet everybody and to form relationships and stuff. But yeah, like I think we always reach out. I think there's always somebody to reach out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's cool. I just envisioned things.
I know. We don't have parades for everyone because the introverts would run.
Right. Yeah.
We do have introverts in the neighborhood and we don't want to scare them away.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't know my neighbors. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm like, hi, want to come over and borrow my tub? No, I don't.
That might, yeah.
But we won't.
If you bring gin, usually it's okay.
Yeah. Fauna, then it works. Fauna, anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I think they really summed it out. Like it's just that reaching out and sharing stories and that giving and receiving. And even like hearing what Sherry was saying about I just also see like how that connection gives you more freedom. Is like having that comfort of going away and be doing what you want to do in your life. Having the community helps that. I guess I would just, you know, I wrote a few quotes down. It's like, my favorite place in the world is my front porch, and that it feels like magic. So now I think you guys, you confirmed what I had kind of been secretly watching for a long time. And yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on and chatting with Jody and I, and just kind of being the community geeks like we are.
We will take over the world.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Yeah. Well, what did we learn? Fauna, what did we learn at the that Livable Cities Forum, that block parties will save the world?
Yeah, it seemed like the answer to every problem.
Yeah. Right? Connecting people, having them, getting them together, block parties will save the world.
Yeah.
You know, they're best for resilience, for climate and disasters and all of those things. As you said, Fauna, like those are the people who survive the best, right? It's the ones who can help each other.
And it's even more important this time around, guys, because it's winter.
Yeah.
And we all need to get out there. So maybe it's like, you know, more knocks on doors, just saying, let's take the dogs for a walk. Let's go for a walk. Like, let's get out there. It's so crucial.
I kids don't have their school friends. So the community is even more important. Like your geographical neighborhood is even more important because they don't have their other communities to rely on.
Yeah.
Ladies, thank you so much for sharing with us. We just want to try to ignite some connection fire with people, because I think we're going to need it. And going into 2021, we're going to need examples like this even more so.